Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
I'm going to ask you, I don't do this often, for a show of hands this morning, how many of you would agree with this statement? Over the last week, there was a time where I was impatient. Show of hands, zero people. Come on now. There was some time this week, we got a double hand over here. We're feeling it. We're feeling it this morning. Or maybe something like this. You don't have to show your hands this morning. I could stand to have a little more patience. If I was a little more patient, my relationships may be a little bit better. My marriage would have been a little bit better this week. My parenting would have been a little better this week. My life would have been a little more bearable this week if we had a little more patience. Oftentimes we have this going through our heads. We need patience and we need it now. And it's not just moments of inconvenience that we're talking about. Oftentimes when we think about patience and being impatient, sometimes we think about it like waiting for a traffic light to change or telling our kids, just be patient. And usually at that point, we're just telling like, sit down and be quiet just for a moment. The food is coming. We're trying to fix plates. Just be patient. And so it's in moments like that where we probably have the examples of patience and feel our loss of patience perhaps the most. But you notice in James chapter 5, verse 7 and following that we're looking at this morning, it starts off with therefore. Do you see it in there, verse 7? It says, therefore, brothers and sisters. And so James is grabbing what has happened just before that and really what's happening throughout the whole book. That James is telling us what it's like to endure, what it's like to be patient in suffering, and for that patience to produce something in our lives. And so James is talking about being patient, as we saw a couple weeks ago, as you make plans. Plans that don't always happen like you planned, and so therefore you must plan by saying, if the Lord wills. He's telling us to be patient in moments where you feel oppressed and overwhelmed and people are taking advantage of you and things are remarkably difficult in your life. He's saying, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient. Be patient when life is uncertain. And this morning we're going to see, be patient when people are difficult and be patient when you're not sure what God is doing. And so what James is after this morning is patience. Yes, patience, but more than just patience in the daily life. Though it is that, even patience in these big picture things, like our life, like people, like trying to figure out what God is doing. So that's what we're going to be considering this morning. And I think you would agree with this. You've already agreed with me that at some point in this week you've been impatient. And I think you would agree with me as well that this quest or this hope that we would become more patient is, culture's not working in our favor. Our culture is not helping us in this. We don't necessarily have a laid-back culture. It was one person that said, good things come to those who wait, but only those things that are left by those who hustle. I think you would agree with me that our culture works against us when it comes to patience. Our culture, is what I'm saying, doesn't necessarily encourage patience. For all of us this morning, think of it in terms of the delivery of goods. With one click in 2 days, you can have something at your door. And forbid, if something is delayed in shipping and it takes 3 days or even 4 days or even a week to get to your door, you get a little bit upset. I'm paying for Amazon Prime. This should be here in 2 days. The delivery of goods, a click, and it's there. We don't really need to be patient because it's there within a week, but still we're anxious and upset when it's not there. Not only the delivery of goods, with the delivery of information. I can't tell you how many rides to school in the morning. A couple weeks ago, we were thinking on a ride to school in the morning, what's the biggest bird ever to live? And my kid said, Dad, just ask Siri, and Siri will tell us what the biggest bird was ever. I don't remember what it was. They maybe remember. I don't know. The delivery of information, one request to your phone, you don't even have to be patient, and it's there. Our culture doesn't even want us to be patient because who's going to get ahead? Those who deliver goods and information the fastest are there. Now, this one even drives me crazy, even the delivery of entertainment. Show commercials to some of my kids, and they get really confused of what that thing is doing that's waiting for them for the show to continue. Or even better yet, when they pull up Netflix, if they can hit skip intro and just get right to the show, some of you kids know what I'm talking about, and not even get to that, then they have that entertainment whenever they want. They don't have to wait a week for the next episode. They're one click away from the next episode. So here's my point, that in all of our culture, we're teaching each other to not be patient. We don't have to be patient, but the Bible says you must be patient. So what gives? We even see in our culture, statistics show us that counseling, even for anxiety, and is up. That people struggle with anxiety more and more and more, even in our culture that has so much at its fingertips. And that's not to say that that's not valuable. I value people who counsel and the necessity of counseling. That's not my point. My point is that the more we have access, oftentimes the patience and the anxiety is continuing to rise. So something must give. As Christians, we are called to be patient. And we have every resource and reason to be patient. And James is going to show us that this morning in life and everything else. So let's do this. First big thing we want to think through this morning. What is patience? What are we talking about? Is it waiting at the red light and not freaking out when it takes too long? Is it waiting for Amazon to deliver and not freaking out until it comes? What is patience? Is it just being quiet like we tell our kids some, just be patient? Is it just God telling us, just shut your mouth and be still? Not necessarily. There's two ways that James is using the word patient here. One, you see it several times. You can maybe underline it or circle throughout these few verses as James says, be patient. And then again in verse 7, he says it again, and is patient with the harvest. Verse 8, you must be patient. And again, he says, patient. What he's talking about here is long-suffering. That's literally what he is saying here, is you must be long-suffering. To be patient is to bear and be able to bear and take some suffering. That when things don't turn out as you would hope in life or whatever else, we must wait and wait well through suffering with resilience and hope. And so James is saying, be long-suffering, be patient. And there's other words that James uses that is connected to patience. We see it in the beginning of James, in James chapter 1, verse 2, and we see it here when he talks about Job. He says, do you remember Job, and haven't you heard of Job's endurance? Haven't you heard of Job's steadfastness? And this goes hand in hand with patience, as he's saying, be patient, be long-suffering, be a person who is able to kind of take some licks and continue to walk through life and not lose hope because of what you have in Christ. But he's also saying to persevere, and this idea of steadfastness, being sure-footed, is this idea of be a person, be patient, one who is able to keep standing up when you get knocked down. To keep standing up time and time again, to be struck down but not destroyed, that I can't be undone. Not even death can undo me, because even if death undoes me, I will stand back up in the resurrection because of what Christ has done. So he's saying, brothers and sisters, you have every reason to be long-suffering and expect to be knocked down. Expect to take some punches. Expect for life not to work out how you planned. Expect things to be difficult, but endure like Job and keep getting back up. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about patience, to be long-suffering and to keep standing up. And so he gives us an example. When he's defining patience, it looks like this. It looks like a farmer. It looks like a farmer that's waiting for rain. It looks like a farmer whose very livelihood is depending upon a harvest, who's trusting for a harvest, who knows that a harvest needs to come if he's to have any hope. And it looks like a farmer who has absolutely no control about when the skies will open up. And this farmer is depending upon two seasons of rain. He's depending, he says here, on an early rain when it's time to plant, and he's depending on a late rain right before the harvest. If the rain doesn't come before planting season, the ground's going to be too dry to plant. If the rain doesn't come towards the end of the harvest, the crop may die. And he is depending upon that rain, and his life depends upon it. Be like a farmer who does not push the panic button, who doesn't plant before it's time or harvest before it's time. He doesn't look at the field and saying, the rain's not going to come, so I'm going to harvest too early. He's going to patiently, long-suffering, and keep standing up until that rain comes, trusting the Lord all the way. When it's time to plant and the rain comes, he's going to plant according to the Lord's timing. When it's time to harvest, he's going to wait for the rain and harvest for the Lord's timing. And whether the rain comes early or whether the rain comes late, he's going to keep standing up, keep waking up, keep looking to the skies and waiting for the Lord to provide, knowing, do you see what it says here? Knowing that the precious fruit of the earth will come. So what is patience? It's long-suffering. It's keep getting back up, and like the farmer, it's trusting the Lord with what you cannot control. It's honoring the Lord of what he has called you to do. When he says, wait for the rain, you wait for the rain. When he says, wait for the harvest, you wait for the harvest. You don't take things into your own hands, but you wait for the precious fruits of the harvest because you know that day will come. Likewise, he says, brothers and sisters, because the Lord's coming is near, harvest is coming. You are the first fruits of the harvest. He's already raised you up, and harvest is coming. It is coming. It will come. Just wait for the harvest. It's almost like he's saying patience involves living life backwards a little bit. For the farmer, he knows the harvest that's coming, so he can trust the Lord for the rain when it's time to plant. For you, brothers and sisters, he's saying you can trust the Lord because you know that day is coming. You know Christ is returning. You know he sealed you for that day, and he's already put the word in your heart, James says, and implanted that in your heart. You know harvest is coming. You know Christ is coming back. So hold on. Be patient. And no matter what life brings, trust the Lord. Honor the Lord. Don't take things into your own hand. Keep trusting and waiting and be patient and endure. So patience is waiting, even in suffering, even in long suffering, continuing to stand and not be undone, because like the farmer, you know harvest is coming. Okay, that's good. That's what patience is. You and I both know that it's fun to define things, but and kind of leave it in the lab. But to actually do it and practice it is a whole nother thing. Like, imagine the rain being a couple weeks late. Should I put the seed into the ground? Should I start acting? Or imagine that. It's fun to know the definitions. It's fun to know, hey, this is what patience is. Praise God, I'm waiting for that day. And I'm really patient, except when things get difficult. Except when I don't understand the Lord's timing. Except when people. Except when people just really cause me to be impatient. Practicing patience. He moves from the theoretical, moves from the example, and Let's talk about patience. In what realms of life are we called to be patient? Number one, so where do we practice patience? So we got a definition of patience. So what about practicing patience? We practice patience. We've seen it already in life in general. Therefore, brothers, when life doesn't go your way, when things are difficult, when you find yourself at the bottom of the totem pole, when you're being oppressed, when things are difficult, when you make plans and your plans don't go accordingly, when you think you're going to go this route in life with this degree and God takes you another way, when you think financially you're going to look like this and you don't look like this, when you think this job's going to open up but it doesn't, when God starts to move you and shake you and things don't go according to your 10-year plan, 5-year plan, 20-year plan, whatever plan you might have, be patient because God's doing something in your life. Be patient and endure. So don't just be patient at the red light or the Amazon delivery. Be patient with what God's going to do with you in this year, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now. Okay? Well, that's hard, but maybe I can start to see that. And then James says something else. Do you see it? In James chapter 5, verse 9. Look at it with me here. So he says, brothers and sisters, again. So he's kind of making a new point here. So we're patient with life. Brothers and sisters, are you ready for this? Do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. So still he has the judge standing at the door that day, living life backwards. Christ is coming. Christ can return at any time. The judge is at the door. Christ is near. And here's what he says, be long-suffering, keep standing up, not only in life, but with your brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you know that some of the people that take the biggest brunt of our frustration in life are the people that are closest to us and probably love us the most? How many of you have lashed out at family and friends before, kids or wife or sons and daughters or mom and dad or fellow brothers and sisters in Christ when life wasn't going like you thought it should and you were really irritated, you were really upset, you were really anxious, and who got the brunt of that was probably some of the people that loved you the most. And if James is clear about anything, if James is like a dog on a bone about anything, it's the way that Christians use their tongue, particularly with one another. And so he is saying, brothers and sisters, when life is difficult, when you need to keep standing up, when you need to be long-suffering, when you need to keep standing up, he says, bear with one another in love. He says, don't grumble against one another because your frustrations with your life, your frustrations with how things are working out with you, you are going to take your frustrations and your impatience out on brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. So he's saying, do not do it or you will be judged for that. That's how big of a deal this is. Do not grumble against one another. How easily we turn upon one another when things get difficult. Again, I think you might agree that our culture is not working in our favor in this way. When things don't go your way, how quickly are you to send out a text to your group of friends to say, can you believe that such and such did this? Or how quickly we are to get on social media, and maybe you do it like in a cloaked way, like you don't name names or anything, but people like, they really know you're upset and upset at somebody about something, and they really know who you're upset about, but you do it in a cloaked way in order to kind of guard it a little bit, and you put somebody on blast in a very quick amount of time because they have hurt you or upset you. And sometimes those are brothers and sisters in our own congregations. And James sees that in the people in here, says, you better not start grumbling against one another because those are the people you need the most when life gets difficult. And I think we forget about that as a church sometimes, not just this church, but the Big C church. I think we forget about this sometimes, that when we are impatient, we must maintain unity and the bond of peace among brothers and sisters in Christ and not devour. This place should be a safe haven for those who are not sure what God's doing. This people should be a safe haven for people whose life has not worked out like they thought it should. This should not be a place where you find grumbling and tearing down of one another. And this should be a place, as Paul says, that love covers a multitude of sin. And that's what Christ has done for us, so you too must do it for one another. So James is saying that's what we're called to do as brothers and sisters, so speak accordingly. You want to see the hair raised up on the back of my neck and me get upset about something? It's when I hear about another brother or sister sowing seeds of discord about fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because brothers and sisters, James says, that should never, ever be. So be patient with one another. A patient man, the proverb says, has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms quarrel. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, better a patient man than a warrior. Read that again. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. We need that with one another. So one thing I love, I'll probably say this when we take the Lord's Supper here in a moment. One thing I love about our congregation is that we have people from, 5 years old to 90 plus year old. And we have people everywhere in between, that we don't have people that are just like us. We have a wide variety of people, and we have people that have been here a long time, that have been really patient with one another, have been really patient with brothers and sisters that are sitting next to them. And I guarantee if you stick it out with people for a long time and don't quarrel and tear them down and build a life and build a community with them, and people that are different than you, different age, different socioeconomic, all across the board, you will find yourself so much like Christ, because this is what Christ has done for us. He's covered a multitude of sins. And we've probably given him every reason to say, please leave the table, and he keeps inviting us back and saying, you are welcome, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be patient with people. Here's how Abraham Lincoln did it. He had this thing that some call the Lincoln letters. Have you heard of this before? Not the Lincoln logs. Those are awesome. We're talking about the Lincoln letters. Abraham Lincoln achieved success, one writer writes, by being patient, encouraging, firm, hopeful, and principled. He easily became angry and frustrated. He recognized his flaw and found a way to manage it. He would write scathing letters to those who upset him. That's not the end of the story. President Lincoln would take time to write all of his thoughts and emotions in a letter to the person, and many of his Civil War generals deserved them. But he never sent them. He simply wrote either on the back of the letter, not sent, or put it in a drawer, never to make it to the Postal Service. Lincoln got very angry very frequently, but while everyone around him was losing their cool, Lincoln kept his, at least outwardly, with this tactic. He wrote on the back of many letters, never signed and never delivered. I think we can learn a lot from that. Yes, people will frustrate you. People will make you upset, and you might have a reason to lose your patience, but the Lord says, be patient. Yes, maybe unburden yourselves and write it down and then throw it away, because as far as the sin, your sin is from the east to the west, so the Lord has removed your sin from you. So you ought to do it for one another. Be patient with one another and be patient with God. He says, wait for the Lord's coming. The Lord is near. He's not ignorant. He's not weak. He's not apathetic. He's not absent. We trust that he knows even when we don't know, and we trust that he is near even when he doesn't feel as though we are near. So we know what patience is. Okay? We know the realms that we're called to be patient. Maybe you're still feeling, okay, I'm still, I don't know about this. Got to be patient with my life, James is saying here. Be patient with one another. That's probably the hardest. And be patient that the Lord is near, the Lord's timing is perfect. He will come back and make everything right. But James says this. Here's the third and kind of final thing that we're going to look at this morning. So we know the definition, kind of those realms he's calling us to be patient in. How are we to strengthen our hearts? Where do we get the strength for this? Look what he says in verse 8. He says, strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. So how do we strengthen our hearts? Give us three ways to strengthen our hearts. Know that the Lord is near. Know that Christ is coming. Know that the harvest will come. James 5:8 says, be patient. Establish your hearts because the Lord's coming is at hand. It's almost like he's saying it like this. Do you remember Eden? Do you remember where we enjoyed the presence of the Lord? We walked with the Lord as in the cool of the day. We had no reason for anxiety. We had no reason for impatience because we had everything that we need. Particularly, we had the presence of the Lord among us. Do you remember that? Do you remember how in the middle of history, God decisively began to restore that fellowship that we lost in Eden? Do you remember that? Do you remember how God made a way for us to have fellowship with God again? How he died on the cross and he tore the curtain so that we could go into his presence yet again? Do you remember that? And do you remember that Christ is coming back and one day this whole earth will be restored to work according to God's design, and his presence will be among us yet again. And there will be no more sickness. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more tears. There will be no more possibility of sin. And there will no more be the effects of sin. Do you know that day is coming? Farmer, do you know the harvest is coming? Do you know that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection? If the first fruits have come, the final harvest would come. Do you know the harvest is coming? Well, yeah. Be patient. Be patient. Have that day in mind. Maybe you're experiencing that right now. Maybe not by the Lord's coming. Maybe you're looking forward to Thanksgiving Day. And everything you're starting to do is in light of that day, right? You're looking for the deals. You're seeing that the cream of chicken soup is on sale. Winter turkeys are going to go on sale. Like everything you're thinking, everything you're reading, every plan you're making is making sure that you're ready for that day. Or maybe it's Christmas. You're building that Amazon wish list so grandparents can see it, right? And everything you're doing is waiting for that day to come. And it's hard to be patient, but you know it's coming. It's on the calendar. I don't know when it's on the calendar. Jesus said, I'm not sure, but the Father is going to send me back. The Father knows. He's got it on the calendar. We're good. That's the next big moment in redemptive history. Be patient. So look forward. And then he says, look back. Do you notice what he says here? Look back at the examples that have gone before. He says here, let your hearts be steadfast. He says, look at the prophets that have gone before you. Look at the prophets that have endured. Maybe he has, Hebrews chapter 11 is what comes to mind, where the writer of Hebrews says, consider the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the raging of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They gained strength and weakness, and they became mighty in battle and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. That's what the prophets did, waiting for that resurrection. Continuing, as James says, to speak the truth no matter the cost, living for Christ no matter the cost. Others were mocked as well as bound and imprisoned. They were stoned. Some were sawn in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. But the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. But they were approved through their faith, even though they were still waiting for what God had promised. Consider the prophets and let your hearts be strengthened. There is a cloud of witnesses that has gone before you, that's walked the road that you've walked. You 8 and 9-year-olds around here, there's some 90-plus-year-olds around here that have walked what you have walked, and you can talk to them this morning, and they can tell you how the Lord was faithful through it all. So look back to that cloud of witnesses, and he says look back as well to the example of Job. Do you see it there? See, we count it blessed, verse 11, as ones who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance. So he wants us to think about Job now. You've heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Remember Job, the one who had it all and lost it all. I have in mind Job chapter 23. Here's what Job says in Job chapter 23. He says this, take Job as an example if you're struggling to see what God is doing. Behold, I go forward, but God is not there, and backwards, but I do not perceive him. It's Job 23. Take Job for example. God, I don't see what you're doing. In fact, I don't even see you right now. Like, the night is so dark for Job that I'm not even sure that you're doing anything. And I can't see you. Like, I feel like I'm playing hide and seek and there's not a light on in the house. And it's like, not the moon is covered, it's a cloudy, there's not a star in the sky. I can't see a thing. Job chapter 23, Job cries out to God. Remember Job and be patient. Then Job says, remember the example of Job? But he knows the way that I take. Job 23. I can't see God, but he sees me. He knows this path I'm walking. He knows what I'm trying to endure. He knows that it's hard to get back up again. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows that my 10, 15, 20-year plan did not work out. I don't see him. The night is dark. Job 23, verse 10. He knows the way I take. James is saying, be patient. You don't see him, but he sees you. And then Job boldly says something else. When he has tested me, I shall come out as gold. I know the harvest will come. I know that he'll refine me. I know that I can count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when I endure various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith will produce endurance, will produce patience, and it will have its perfect result, so that I will be lacking in nothing. I will come out as gold. I'm looking for that day. It just feels like fire and a lot of dross right now. I can't see him, but he sees me, and he knows the path I'm walking. And I know what he's going to do. So I look back to those prophets. I look back to Job. I look back how it turned out for Job. Yes, it took 42 chapters and a really big book in the Bible for all of that to unfold. It's probably going to take 42 plus chapters in your life for some of these to unfold, but the Lord will refine you and you'll be like him. Consider Job and consider Jesus. You see what he says in the end? The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is compassionate and merciful. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness, to the patience, to the endurance of Christ. The only way that we will endure, the only way that we will have the strength to endure, yes, look at the witnesses. Yes, trust. But the only way that we will endure is to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Yes, we have this large cloud of witnesses, but he goes on to say, consider Christ who endured such hostility for sinners. Consider Christ who is our ultimate example, who though he was perfect, he kept walking the road. He kept getting up. He kept going, even when he cried out in Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He kept getting up, and he went to the cross for wrath-deserving sinners like us. because love covers a multitude of sins. Consider Christ and how patient he is with you. Consider Christ when we come to the table in just a few minutes and you say, God, is there mercy still reserved for me? Is there patience still reserved for me? And hear the resounding yes. Look to the Lord who is merciful and compassionate. Say, praise the Lord. He is our ultimate example. And finally, he is our source of it all. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of patience. Without Christ, without a relationship with Christ, you may be able to muster up some patience in your own power, in your own strength, but it will not last. With Christ in you, you'll experience something like this, that you will learn to be content in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. Waiting for the early rain, waiting for the late rain, waiting for things to become clear, waiting for the skies to break so you see the Lord who has always seen you, waiting for that gold to shine. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In all circumstances, I have learned the secret to being content. And should we say the secret to be patient? The secret to endure, the secret to keep getting back up in all circumstances, whether well-fed, hungry, abundance, or need, that we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ is our example. Christ is our source. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ is in us. Brothers and sisters, let's endure it all. Let's keep getting back up. Yes, because of the cloud of witnesses, but mainly because our eyes are on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray.